Acts, the 20th chapter. And I certainly enjoyed the Sunday school lesson about a servant on this morning. I even recited a little bit to the brothers that those of you that are the greatest or you consider yourself in chief positions, you're not only just a servant of opportunity, you're a slave, and a slave has no will of his own anymore. He's strictly under the obedience of the master. So the quote, greater we become, the more willing and obedient we should come when it hears heeding the voice of the Lord. I want to read Acts the 20th chapter. I want to read starting at verse 22. And now behold, I go bound in the spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me. This is Paul talking, I believe, to the Ephesian elders. It says, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide in me. My life isn't going to be comfortable according to prophecy. And how many know, I think we read that a little bit last week where we read about the elders that laid hands on Paul. And you read it later on about a prophet who literally says, the man that wears this belt or this girdle, he's going to go bound and he's going to suffer great trials and persecution. Some of us would have heard that prophecy right then and there. We would have tried to maybe change our direction and so forth. But how many know the Holy Ghost will take you where you don't want to go and have you suffer things that you don't want to suffer? Verse 24, it says, but none of those things move me, things that God said he's going to do through to me and for me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of grace, the grace of God. I don't know how many of us know the life of Paul and so forth. And I'm a believer in timelines because Bible, how many know certain portions of the Bible, they're history books. And so many times, sometimes between one or two verses, you may find several years. And so you got to understand that. And so when we begin to look at the life of Paul, this is where I push us to be a part of these Bible school classes, because you begin to understand this. How many know Paul's ministry wasn't just 5 years? Wasn't just 10 years. Over 30 years. Paul ministered and traveled and was shipwrecked, snake bitten, almost stoned to death, attacked by crowds, ostracized, and all of these things he went through. And many times, if we look, and to us today, the example of a sound ministry is how well things are going and not how terrible in our eyes things are going. But how many know, again, God's will takes you. And one thing I appreciate by God, when I begin to look at him as I advance in him, that he builds character. Yes, he won't allow you to lie to yourself or to lie to others. And there's, how many have been in a place where you just thought you were stronger than you were? And then God got you in that place and he said, you ain't as strong as you think. You still need me every day and you need my help every day. And so he reminds you that you ain't all of that in a bag of chips, so to speak, that you need to keep it together and you need to stay before the presence of the Lord. But we see a determination in him that, God, no matter where you take me, I'm ready to move in that direction. I'm ready to go in that direction. And I thought about this setting because I originally started with another verse, and we're going to go there and we're going to look at it. It's Revelation, the 12th chapter, in verse 11. For our TV people, title this message is Loving the Lamb More Than Life. Loving the Lamb More Than Life. I don't know where I come up with these titles, but this. Amen. At Revelation's 12th chapter. I don't want to read the context. I'll just read the verse. But this is a time of testing. This is a time of trial. And the reason we emphasize this with you all and try to place this in your heart and spirit that we live in a day of, quote, what's known as prosperity gospel. And prosperity gospel says that if you truly know God, nothing goes wrong in your life, that you have money rolling in and things are working out. There used to be a saying among the crowd. It was spoken to me very recently. It said, how are you doing? And the response was always blessed and highly favored. How many know you can be highly favored and go through a trial? Sometimes a trial shows how highly favored you are. But that's the thought process. Amen. Amen. But this is a church that's being persecuted by the devil. There's a war going on here. And it gives you the attitude and the mindset that we just read about Paul here. And again, this is the verse that I started with. And it says this, chapter 12, verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Friday night, we had a lot of testimonies in here, didn't we? You know, it's amazing the euphoria that you feel after coming off of a shut-in and a prayer and the victory that you have. And hence, that's why we stand behind the pulpit and tell you, says, you're feeling the warm and fuzzies right now. But guess what? A trial can be down the road. And that's going to be the test of what you testified up here, whether it's a reality or not, when you start to go through and when you start to struggle. Oh, Pastor Jeff, you're messing up already talking about trials, and we got all this victory. You know, I was looking at the word, and I'm a brand name. I almost feel strange with some other kind of leisure wear on. That if you ever notice what I wear a lot of Nike. I just don't feel right in Adidas. I'm sorry, y'all, that wear Adidas and Champion and Under Armour and all that. I don't even mix them, Pastor Julius. I don't have on an Adidas top and Nike bottom. Everything has to be Adidas. Just watch and look, you'll see. But I began to find out there was a word there that when he said overcame, and I began to do a word study on that word. And I found out that word, I found Nike in the Bible, y'all. When it said that they overcame, they nikeoed, they nikeed. And I began to dig further in that word, and so it's just not an overcoming, but it meant that they conquered. They were victors. And one of the things I want to express to us today, that when God begins to help you overcome, and it tells us how they gain the victory, and he gives us again, let's read it again. It says, and they overcame, or they Nike'd, or they conquered him. Who are they talking about conquering? And if you read the verses previous, the devil, the enemy, Satan, the serpent, the dragon. And they overcame him, they conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives to death. They weren't so caught up in everything that was going on. And again, hence the warning about us getting in this consecration, God bringing the deliverance to our lives, and we turn around and we get ourselves back into the same patterns. Amen. How many know once you get a victory, how many know your enemy wants to come back and attack that very victory? Amen. How many know the devil doesn't want to see you in victory? He don't want you singing songs like, I'm so glad Jesus set me free, and singing glory. He don't want you to do that. While you were testifying on Friday night, he was listening to your testimony, along with the saints, along with the host of heaven listening to your testimony. And so this ideal of conquering involves the ideal that you're going to have warfare. Yes, sir. How many, you can't be a conqueror without warfare. And one of the things that we started a process, and I want you to hear the testimonies that we heard today, the testimonies that we heard on Friday or Wednesday night, and folks testifying overcoming victory. Amen. But you better keep the other thing involved in that, it's the blood of the Lamb. Because how many know there's no victory without the blood of Jesus Christ? Because if you fasted and you went through the whole thing out of a religious rote and ritual without the blood of Jesus Christ and being covered in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I know that didn't happen here because I heard folks crying out and asking God to forgive sins and cover them with their blood and God, sanctify my life, God. Yeah, you know, I heard over in the middle of the night, God, take out and early in the morning, take out every crevice and so forth. You know, and I sat down and I said, God, I got to be serious enough with you that 2 hours a day just ain't going to get it for me. Because how many know you can come in here and during the prayer and we, like right now it's 12 and you can look and say, okay, come 2 o'clock, I'm out the door. But one day I saw, and I won't say who, but I observed it with a couple of other saints that when God's spirit began to move, they lost a sense of time. They got in the presence of God, and it wasn't about time. It wasn't about, God, I'm going to put my 2 hours in. But, God, I'm enjoying fellowship with you right now. I'm enjoying your presence. And you work with me however long you want to work, God. I'm going to be right here. And I found myself in those spaces where I said, God, you know, I know I got this do, that do, but, God, I got to get before your presence. So I come in here, and I be here in the morning, and that group get finished. And then I go and I said, oh, let me slip in and grab a little bit of noonday prayer. And I was trying to take care of business stuff. And then I come and say, well, let me rest this evening. No, I got to get out there with Pastor Julius and pray with that group. Amen. And it just became a hunger and a thirst for God's will and God's presence in your life. Amen. And that's the experience that consecration takes you to. Amen. And not just letting it be a duty of a 2 hour window that we come in and we can plant a badge on ourselves and look at what I did. Amen. Amen. So I got before God's presence and we asked God to change us with his blood, and because again, without his blood we can't overcome. Not in our own strength. But then there's a word I love in scriptures called logomai. And logomai says this: to confess with or say the same thing has. And how many know that it's Christ Jesus that gives us the victory? And so through Christ Jesus and the blood of Jesus Christ, we now come before him and say, God, I am victorious because of you. I'm giving all the glory to God for the work that he has done. And the reason I'm an overcomer is because of the sacrifice that he has made. How many know you've struggled with things in the past, and you struggled with things going on in your life in the past, and you thought you tried to do it in your own strength, and you found out and you came to the conclusion, God, I need your help every day. I need your spirit every day. I need your blood to wash me every day. And that's why I want to encourage us to get before the presence of the Lord, continue the same things, consider the same pattern so that the blood of Jesus, because our only conquering, our only victory. But the last phrase is what really struck me when looking at this, that he said, and they loved not their lives unto death. That took me somewhere else, and I want to take you there, Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke, the 14th chapter. I don't mind you saying, what did he say? That's good. Amen. I don't mind that at all. Amen. I know one day what'd you say? I know that's you know, biology tells me that happens to us sometimes. Amen. So I don't mind you. I want you to hear what we're saying. Luke, the 14th chapter. And how many know serving Jesus comes with a cost? How many know you don't decide the price? And if you're really about serving God, you don't come with the terms of condition of service. Again, you become that doulos. You become that slave that says, whatever you want, God, I'll do it. Even if it comes to my life, because my life don't matter. Next to your will, my life is unimportant. See, my amens, they went down by about 85%. And I say this over and over again to us, serving God is a commitment, y'all. It is a, and dare I say, it is a lifetime commitment. It's nice to stand in church and say, I made a vow to the Lord and I won't take it back. And that's easy as a song with upbeat music and a nice bass line, and it sounds good. But amen, how many know you got to keep that vow once you leave these doors too, and once you leave this place? We're going to read the words of Jesus, because when Jesus says something, how many know when Jesus says something, that's God talking to us? And he repeats something that, and if you read earlier, what he had talked about earlier is that he had a feast and he bade others to come to the feast, and they began to make excuse. And he went and found others that were willing to come to the feast. But then he goes on and he begins to talk about the cost of being a disciple, because there's a price. You know, I always refer to those, because those old songs are just in my spirit, says, I'll pay the price, whatever it may be. Some of y'all don't remember that song. Some of y'all didn't try to put it out your mind. Because serving God is a commitment. What if, you know, we as a church said, let's come together the first 7 days, let's consecrate before the Lord. And the Lord said, I'm not finished with you yet. I want you to come in here and consecrate and give me the month. Give me 40 days. Bishop, didn't the old saints do that, Bishop? The old saints fasted 40 days. And I saw it regularly. Without eating or drinking. Oh, man. That's committed, ain't it? We want our pastor, we want those that we trust to tell us what to do and how to do. And too often, sometimes God demands more of you. And particularly, again, talking to, as I did to our leadership, that particularly you being who you are within a ministry and the onus that you carry, God actually demands more of you. Bible school teachers, don't I talk about that to you all? Because you're standing and teaching others, so you can't handle God's word. You can't just sit and read the Bible and get up and decide you want to do a lesson. You got to roll up your sleeves and do some serious work in scripture and understanding, because you got to translate that, because you don't want anybody that's listening to you to be in error. So to whom much is given, much is required. And so there's a responsibility, there's an accountability that goes with serving God. And the higher you move in the higher heights and the deeper depths of God, the more God demands of you. You know, I was talking to someone just on last week, and they said, you know, I would be better participant, but my wife. And I kind of told him, you ain't in your rightful place. I didn't hear hardly a sister say anything. You're the head. See, I don't tell Sister Lynette, you better be at church, you ought to come to church, you need to come to church, you better keep yourself in church. I simply come to church, and I'm faithful to God, and I lay out a pattern and a plan, and I have an obedient enough wife and a wife that loves God enough that she just follows right along in that same path. So when I talk about those that rule over, the Bible says those that rule over, again, it says those that lead the way, those that are the examples, those that paint a pattern that can look and say, follow me as I follow Christ. Yes. Serving God is a demand. So what I'm doing today is what he's going to tell us in this parable, that you got to sit down and you got to count up the cost. Amen. What am I willing to give up? To get where God wants me to get to. Amen. The words of Jesus Christ again, beginning at verse 25. And there went a great multitude with him, and he turned and said unto them, and if you know anything about the multitude, they followed him until he stopped feeding them. Then they couldn't follow him anymore. Verse 26, if any man come after me, and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren. And brethren, that word brethren also includes relatives and sisters, yea, and his own life. He cannot be my disciple. I'm going to sit there and let that just marinate with you a minute. Who said that? When you come to me, everything, including your very life, becomes secondary. I didn't get an amen at all. All right, consecrated people. I got the victory, people. The Lord's speaking to me now in a new way. He done do a new thing in my spirit. Am I talking the same group? None of us like demands. Some of us hate to be controlled. There's a nastiness in our nature, and I'll share it with you again. I remember vividly sitting in the park, and y'all can probably tell this story with me, but I went to lunch one day at work, and I'm sitting in the park eating my lunch, sitting in my truck, and I'm just looking, and I saw them over there painting a park bench down the street from my job. And when he got done, he put a sign on it that said, wet paint, do not touch. You know how many people I saw walk by and look at the sign and went, we hate restrictions. That's how the devil got Eve.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
If God's all that good to you, and God has said, of all the trees in the garden, you may freely eat. Just don't touch that one. Yeah. And Satan saw that, the serpent saw that, and he comes to Eve and he says, if God's all that good, why is he restricting that tree from you? Basically, I'm paraphrasing a lot, but that's what he basically said. And all he wanted to seed in her was to question God's goodness and whether God's goodness. And why, if God is so good, why is he withholding this and keeping this? And see, I'm not only talking about a tree now. Why is he not doing this? And why is he doing that? And if he loved me that much, how come he not doing it?
Come on, Pastor.
And he begins to get you to question God.
Yes.
Because his ultimate goal is to get you to defy God's will for your life. And so this challenge becomes, again, and I want to focus, because he's going to repeat this three times, where he says, if you can't do this, you can't be my disciple. He hadn't even gotten to apostle yet. He hadn't gotten to bishop yet. Just disciple. Okay, y'all was grinning and smiling a minute ago. Y'all was having a good time, testimony, had good prayer and everything, and now y'all looking at me like I'm a pit bull up here getting ready to bite you. See, because after prayer and after fasting and set aside comes commitment. How many, when you got done with this consecration, say, God, I recognize through this I need to be more committed to you?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I need to sanctify my life some more. I've allowed my some areas and aspects of my life to slip into complacency. Just a routine and a thing that I just go through. But God, I want to feel your presence like this all the time. I want to feel that joy like this all the time. I want to hear your voice that tells me to get up and go to church and pray right now. I want to hear that voice all the time. And most of all, I want to be obedient to that voice and obey that voice. Because I'll lift my hands so that y'all can look around and see. There's times that God told me to do things, and I drag my feet. I know some of us, we're too proud to confess that. There are times God's will spoke to me, and I knew it was God's will. And I pray to God, I look sometimes and say, God, I always want to be sensitive to your timing, because that person, again, like I say, that you told me to spoke to, they may have been suicidal. And I walked away without giving them a chance to hear your voice that says, I love you, I care for you. There's nothing in this life so terrible that can you worth taking it and leaving this earth behind. There's no person that bad that is worth taking and snuffing out your life. Because Jesus is the answer. We say we have the answer, don't we? But he says, if you can, and that's straighten out this word hate. And it's a comparative word, let's say that. Because why would Jesus turn around and tell us to love our enemies and then turn around and tell us to hate our mother and father? Doesn't make sense. And so one of the things that's happening here, he's making a comparison that as much as you, why would he tell us to hate our mother and father and turn around and tell us to honor our father and mother? It doesn't jive. So we understand we got to come to some interpretation about what he's saying here and understanding what he's saying, that the love that you have for the most loved one, and I mean, no, sometimes despite your love, they go crazy on you. Okay, some of y'all, y'all don't remember y'all last Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas get together. Some of us, for the gospel's sake, they don't want to be around us. But there's a love that we have, but he says that kind of love that you have for family and the best of your family, it has to look so, you got to love me so much and prefer me so much that that love looks like hate. That's what I'm talking about. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got to be first. How many know the Ten Commandments? Exodus, it says that thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Jesus comes along in the New Testament. He says, seek ye first. Make that the priority on your list, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And guess what? You only have to work for all these things we be seeking after. You're trying to find the peace and the joy. Trying to do all these things we're trying to do. Take more vacations and all. No, you don't have to do any of that. Seek his kingdom and all of these things shall be added unto you. I'll give you the joy you need. I'll give you the peace that you need. I'll give you everything that you desire. Sometimes, you know, God knows what's best for us anyway. Sometimes we think we need a new car, and God said, you don't need a new car. You need a new spirit. You need your spiritual appetites. Because, I mean, no, we're, some of us are covetous. Okay, the covetous people didn't say anything. They don't change the fact. That we want what we want. We get appetites and we chase hard after things that are not eternal. We work for stuff and meat that perish. And we don't count heavenly things as rich and gratifying. And so when we look at God's word, we look and say, it ain't worth it. Now, you may not say that with your mouth, but your attitude and your heart, saying, God, I can't allow you to be first this time. But Jesus is this. I want to imprint on our mind and our heart how serious it is serving God. And we got to get to where we're seriously serving the Lord with all our heart, our mind, and our spirit. And I'll tell you, I need God's help to do that. Oh, my goodness. How many see a will in yourself that detests God? Those of us that are in the church, that will is still there. It sees God's will, and God's will said, wet paint, do not touch, and you go. So I have to constantly ask, break down my will and say, you're not going to be in charge here today. You're not going to have your way. Oh, I feel like hitting them upside the head, but no, you can't do that. That's not my will. I feel like telling that salesperson off and jumping, and who's your boss, and I want to talk to your supervisor. Me and my sister were sitting one day, and we were talking about some family matters and sibling things, and I looked at her, and I said, out of all and everything that's going on, somebody got to be the Christian. If we got to take the low road, we take the low road. If we got to shut our mouths, we shut our mouths. If we got to humble ourselves, we humble ourselves. Because through that, we may win them to Christ. Our bishop sat there, and I sat with him and my mother one day, and I said, you know what I hope? I hope y'all spend everything. Enjoy your life. And Bishop, he has a heart. I want to leave a inheritance for my children. You know what I discovered, Sister Dale? That some things that mean something to you don't mean a thing to them. You're saying, here, this thing is the treasure of my heart. Please take it. Oh, you enjoy this. You have something to remember me by, and they're looking like that's a piece of junk. So I told him, spin it up. Don't leave nothing to fight over. Because the first one standing in lines, the one ain't done nothing. I got to look at the paperwork here. Split families and tear up families behind a bunch of foolishness and things and stuff like that. I'm so glad my life isn't tied up into this physicality and all that. Thank God I have an eternal hope. I have a God to look for. I have a heavenly destiny that's worth more than money. I was watching a news show, and it's just craziness. You know, man married a woman. She's so convincing in love, and come to find out the man takes her hiking and pushes her over a cliff. Oh, they have news stories like that. For a life insurance policy. That's why you be careful who you'll marry. You better marry somebody that loves God. But he says, except you hate all of these people, relatives, friends, even your own life. You cannot be my disciple. I want to impress it on my, you cannot be my. To come to Jesus, you got to give up everything. I'm learning when I'm going to get weak amens and I'm going to get the good amens. And I could stay right there with the good amens, but I would be doing a disservice to you. Not to tell you the truth. Let's continue to read. Verse 27, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple.
Yes, sir.
How many have read, we talked a little bit about in Sunday school, Jesus going to the cross? How many know the cross involves pain? The cross involves suffering. It was so much involved in fulfilling the will of God to Jesus Christ. And I'm trying to think of the term. I think it's hemodiasis or some kind of medical term. And it said that he prayed until great drops of sweat like blood came out. And you know, I found out that's a medical condition.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That when a person can get so stressed, they can actually pray or they can actually become stressed to the point that along with the sweat comes out blood. You talk about pressure. Oh, I just got so much on me. Nah, yeah, you don't even come close. And he looks at that and he says, Father, not my will. I see that cross. I see the judgment. I know you're going to turn your back on me. When the sins, that seems like it's too much to bear. But nevertheless, it's not about my will anymore. So God, if you don't give me a bigger house, a nicer car, you don't give me that promotion, I'm constantly being fought and battled by people. I am being hated by family. I am being ostracized on my job. I'm not going to change my mind about you. I'm going to stay with you through thick and thin. Some of y'all trying to formulate an amen. Meditate on enough and it'll come out. That if you don't bear your own cross. Because how many of us, when we run into the issue of a cross, we try to give it to somebody else? Bible said, bear ye one another's burdens. Y'all ain't read the whole context. Because he said, he gets to the end, he says, after so long, so then let every man bear his own burden. Y'all go and read the Bible and read the whole thing. I always want somebody else to bear our cross. No, it's your cross. You bear it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I don't like it. God don't care what you don't like. I don't understand why they ain't going through it. God don't care about what you, nobody else going through. You do what he told you to do. He told Peter those exact words, didn't he? He said, well, I don't care what you think and you're concerned about anybody else. You better follow me. What did I say the title of this lesson was again? Loving the Lamb more than life. Loving Jesus more than life itself. Giving up everything for Jesus more than life itself. How many, again, let me ask this question. The book of Revelation states this, but we, how many know we are priests and kings? We kind of button up our attire. I'm a priest. I'm a king. Let's turn to the book of Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter, and we're going to come back to this. Too many of us like privilege and not responsibility. Let me say that again. Too many of us like privilege and not responsibility. We enjoy the privilege of being in charge without the responsibility. Organizationally speaking, while others do other things in this ministry, when the bill collectors and the contract people and all the people come here, they never ask for any of you all.
That's right.
Pastor Jeff Archie here. So I have to have the responsibility to know everything that's going on. Where every fire extinguisher is, where every gauge is, where every panel is. See, I'm just not here just to know the Bible. How long this has been placed, when they did this, how they did this, how big is your building, what is the square footage? There's a responsibility that goes with that same authority. And so, likewise, we as priests in the kingdom, and I'm going to read an Old Testament because this is an Old Testament philosophy as well, that when you operate in the priesthood, not even your family matters. Deuteronomy 33rd chapter. Levi, how many heard of Levi? And if you read the book of Exodus, Levi, there came a point that Moses gave Levi some instruction. He says, you take your sword and you destroy all of these ungodly. It don't matter who they are. And Levi obeyed. So this verse here is commentary on Levi and what and his actions and how he acted in accord with God. He says, and of Levi he said, let thy Thummim and thy Urim be with the Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah. That's where all this slaughter took place. And with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Verse 9, who said unto his father and to his mothers, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, nor knew his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. What is he telling us there about Levi? God was so supreme and God's will was so supreme that at the expense of sacrificing family, son, daughter, my iron and spirit, God, I'm willing to obey your law and your voice. I'm willing to take action when you take action. How many know sometimes we're guided, and an example of that is what I started at the beginning, that I would do this, but my wife gonna get mad. You know, my family, they doing this and that. And they gonna get mad if I don't show up. I have a saying among my family that I look at them, and they say such and such, my daughter, in fact, I stated this last week. In case you don't know, I'm 49 of strength, so y'all pray today. But they kind of very injured, so I don't give them a lot of chance, but no telling what prayer can do. But I'm a 49ers fan football-wise. And she said, Dad, if they win the playoffs, and they're going to play in Levi Stadium, which is their home stadium. She looked at me, and she may not look like and act like sometimes. That girl got a little change stashed away. And so she looked and said, Dad, that's one Sunday you could take off. I will pay and get you some good seats so you can have the experience of the Super Bowl. You don't have to watch it on TV. You can be there. Me and Thomas already talked about it, and we will send you. Dare say 90% of us in here will go, woo! Oh, what a blessing from the Lord. You know, the Bible says he'll give you your heart's desires. Oh.
My God.
I looked at her and said, you know what I do on Sundays, right? There's no game that's so important. See, some of y'all looking at me going, trying to speak. Pastor, there. Now, you ain't been looking sad the whole service. Pastor! Pastor! What? Not a testimony. I just got tried and I overcame. And by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. No, that's not what you got to tell me. I got a ticket. See how we get excited about carnal things? I had a cousin, he said, hey, cuz, I got it set up already, and we gonna go fishing, and I know how much you enjoy fishing, so guess what? All on me, cuz, we gonna go fishing up at Barry Essa, and boy, and they killing them up there. They killing them. You don't have to worry about it. Just show up. And he said, I said, when? He said, well, you know, we leave Friday and we be gone. We won't be back till Monday. I said, I looked at him and said, you know what I do on Sundays? Hate him more. Mother, father, sisters, brother, even your own thing. In other words, there are things that give us great delight and pleasure. We still got to place that before the will of God and say, God, but is this your will? Because things that give us pleasure, we run to, don't we? They give us joy, we run to. We don't have any reservations. But things that don't bring us so much pleasure, what do? I got to pray about this. I got to seek the Lord. And sometimes that's the thing that God wants you to go through. Let's get back over here because I want to finish this. Like I said, I want to give our bishop some time here. Again, Luke 14. Verse 28. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he had laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him. How many of us start out walking with Christ and we give this fiery testimony? And then you become someone entirely different from that testimony. And instead of the world giving glory to God for your life, they're mocking. Well, they started out saved. I don't know what happened. And you just got done telling him, God's a keeper. He'll keep you all the way to the end. Ooh, there's just so much joy and happiness. And all we got to do, Pastor, is say offering.
Oh God.
And joy leaves our face. Yeah. We're not even willing to give God up our resources. We're sad at parting with the dollar. Some of y'all will be in a service like this and we'll say, everybody give $20. And you'll hesitate and hem and haw and all these other things. And then we'll turn around and drive from this service and stop at the first Taco Bell you see. And spend $20 to feed your flesh on something temporal. I'm talking about counting up the costs.
Yes, sir.
How many know, again, it costs you to serve the Lord?
Yes.
There's a price to be paid. Yes. Oh, the gift is free, but the price.
Yes.
Sit back and say, before you even make a vow, it said the Bible tells us don't be rash with your mouth. To utter anything before the Lord. Sometimes we say, well, I'll see you there tomorrow. And the old saints often taught us, if the Lord be willing. Because you don't have control over your own life like that. I tell you what, I'm going to wake myself up tomorrow. No, no, who lied to you?
Jesus.
I'm going to be in my health and strength. I've seen what happened to everybody else, but I'm going to be in the health, my health and strength the rest of my life. I'm feeling good right now. Like you got control. And you don't. You're not in charge. So we yield ourselves to God. So there's a counting that must take place. It's a price to be paid to follow him. Verse 30 says, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king going to war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he has. Someone says all that he has. Okay, everybody say all that he has. Peter makes this misconception in Mark 28. Because they had just saw a rich young ruler. And again, much like we do, they made the mistake because he had money and a religious upbringing. That was a sign of God's blessings. Again, let me remind you again, as I so often do, there's not one verse in the Bible that says money is a blessing. But they had made that mistake because of what the Pharisees taught them, what they had been learned, and much like what health and wealth prosperity gospel teaches us now. And Jesus looked at him, and the Bible says, in one case he says, Jesus looked at him and loved him and said, sell what you have and give to the poor. And Jesus revealed to him that he had the spirit of covetousness. Because when he cited all those commandments, he left out the statement about covetousness. And then he hit at the heart of where he was living, and he said he couldn't do it because he had much great possessions. And the apostles are amazed, or disciples are amazed, and they look like, who then can be saved? If the person with money and blessings flowing in life can't, who can be? How can we be? And then Peter starts sweating a little bit, and he says, the Lord said, Lord, we have forsaken all. And Jesus had to turn around and reassure them, didn't he? He says, there's not one of you that have forsaken that shall not have fathers, mothers, brothers, and sisters, and lands in this present life. I want you to just think about this room in general. Some of us, we got family members don't like us. Can't get along with us. And guess what God did in his provision and his love for us? He gave you other brothers and sisters and mothers and fathers that would be 100% in your corner. Sometimes we make a wrong assessment of forsaking all. Sometimes we act like what we're giving up is so much, and Peter made this mistake. How many know you can't give up enough for Jesus? Okay, I some of y'all didn't answer that one either. There's nothing more valuable than Jesus. And how many know, personally, there's nothing more valuable than your soul. Jesus said, what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? There's not a price you can put on your soul. And the only one that came along was able to do anything when it came to your soul and to rescue you and to rescue your soul was Jesus Christ. You could do nothing for your own soul. There was no methodology. You couldn't go to the doctor and say, doctor, I need a prescription for my soul. You couldn't do it. The only person who could solve that was Jesus Christ. And how many witnesses I got out there that says, he did a thing in my soul. He straightened out my soul. He renewed that man in me. I am now that new creature. I'm not the same person. And when I look at that, that doesn't mean I don't look the same, I don't dress the same. That means something in my heart has changed. I'm renewed in my spirit. I have a new way of thinking. I have a new way of talking. Verse 33, so likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. How many want to be disciples of Christ? Let's try to get that on. You really want to be a disciple of Christ? Did you hear and listen to those demands? This is a committed way. Because right now, some of us live in a state where if we're inconvenienced, we refuse to be inconvenienced. If it's a struggle and a decision between goods and land and good times and all this stuff, we will take the good times every time. Instead of forsaking that and saying, God, I'm willing to suffer. How many know the Bible says, Peter says, I believe, says, they that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. How many know that's our way? That's our style of life. That happened. People are going to talk about you. People are not going to like you. And sometimes it has nothing to do with you. It has to do all with the gospel and who you love. And you got to learn through the Spirit of the Lord and the empowerment of the Holy Ghost. That's why we need the Holy Ghost, that when he fills us, now you have that partnership, you have that spirit dwelling in you that gives you the ability to overlook that and love at the same time. That people are, everybody ain't going to like me. I recognize, even in this audience, there may be someone say, listening to me right now and say, you know, I wish he should just shut up. I'd get tired of listening to him. You know, I got to look past all that. Because the gospel is what must be translated. And my prayer is that if I throw enough seed out there, it's going to be planted some good ground somewhere. And then I'm going to turn around and I'm going to see the fruit of that manifested. So it gives me greater joy when I see that fruit planted and I see the fruit coming up. I don't pay attention to the weeds. No. No, sir. Yeah. I'm interested in the fruit. So you got to, our way is a giving up way. Let's turn last scripture. Let's turn to Matthew. Because he puts it in another way. Matthew, the 10th chapter. And then we're going to pray, go from there and give it to our bishop as he is led. We heard in our lesson today that disciples, they had an issue about who's going to be more important, who's going to sit on the left and the right, and they had all that. And they're planning, you know, their next position within Christ's kingdom. And as I often so point out, it says, and the others were upset at them about that. They weren't upset because they asked Jesus the question. They were upset because they wanted a position too. So all of us, it shows all of us have things in our spirit and our heart that are ungodly. Let's look at this. Again, Matthew, the 10th chapter, and let me see where we start, because he starts out talking about false prophets. That's, start at verse 33. It says, but whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. How many know God forgives past that sin of denial? Because we see it with Peter, don't we? Okay, just threw that out there. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me. Now he says in Luke that you can't be his disciple. Listen what he says here. Is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth me. And that word, I want to stop at followeth, because that word don't mean at some point you stop and you start going with him. That word is what the grammar people say is a PPT. It's a present participle. That means you not only do it once, you keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And it's a continual action. So he that continues to follow me after me is not worthy. I mean, how many want to be worthy? I know some of y'all Bible scholars went ahead of me, but he made me worthy. Yeah, we recognize that. But you must continue to follow him. That word do in scripture, poiel, means to do of a continuous habit. Let me tell you something. If you say you love God and the Bible says and you doth commit sin, that word commit again has to do with that word poiel. You do out of continuous habit. You don't know God. You have no relationship with him. Because where the Spirit, this is why we want to be Spirit-filled, because where the Spirit of the Lord is dwelling, how many know he puts in your spirit that he has a natural aversion to sin. That's why when you sin, the Bible says he convicts you of sin, because he begins to talk to you the minute that you, again, you don't have to say anything, you're just thinking something, and the Spirit of the Lord will speak to your mind and say, stop thinking that. That's his job. That's why we consecrate and get before the Lord, so that he fills our life and we become sensitive to his voice. So in the terms of being worthy, our worthiness is not, we're not earning ourselves to be saved. We're not placing ourselves to earn salvation. That's a gift that's been given to us. But because we've been given the gift of salvation, we now put into practice righteousness, because he that loves God practices righteousness. And how many know you can't do that without the Spirit of the Lord dwelling in you to lead and to guide you into doing the works of God? I tell I'm losing some of y'all, and I'm going to bring this to a conclusion. But at the same time, one of the things about self-denial, again, if I just today at the Clear Blue said, I know we just got done with our 7-day consecration, saints, but you know the Lord told me today, let's go on another 7 days. Some of y'all stopped smiling just then. Because our flesh is in control. You understand what I got going on? You don't see my schedule. You don't see what? Some of us exercise our own will so long we get satisfied and we feel comfortable in exercising our own will. And we look at our own will and declare that's God in action. And God says, you haven't given up all. You're still hanging on to yourself. I mean, there's parts of us, and I'm going to close my Bible. There's parts of us that we glorify about ourselves. I articulate pretty good. There's some of us, we think we're smart than everybody else. We can't learn anything from anybody. Some of us are in the practice of exerting our will so much that we give opinions when we're not asked for them. We glorify our opinions and get mad When someone looks at you and say, but you're wrong. I was telling the brothers yesterday, when somebody looks at you and says, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but I'm going to say like the kids say, liar, liar, pants on fire. You trying to tell me what to do. And if somehow it's contrary, and someone speaks to the contrary, we stick out our lip, walk away, and pout. And we glorify our opinions, our thought processes, our way of thinking, instead of saying, God, help me nail that even to the cross. My opinion isn't the most important opinion in the world. How I think things ought to be isn't the most important. God, what's most important is your will. How many know sometimes our traditions get in the way of what God wants to do? Well, that ain't the way we did in the Grand Old Church. That ain't the way we did it back in the Catholic. Well, that's why God brought you here. He wanted to mess with your traditions and your way of doing things. Some of us get stuck in tradition so much sometimes that when things look different, we go, do we get big boogie big? And we kind of sit there like, I don't know what to do. Instead of lifting your hands and say, God, have your way. God, I accept the way that you're moving. God, I accept your pattern. I want to be obedient, God. I'm yielding everything, God. My thoughts, my reason, arguments, everything that I'm thinking about. Because I want to be your disciple. I want to be worthy of you, Lord. I want to hear your voice say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want you to see, even after this consecration, there's still some more giving up we got to do. Because God expects a total yieldedness. Like I said, during this consecration, although we said 1 meal a day, 7 days, 2 hours a day in the building praying, if God told you to shut in, guess what? God's voice supersedes the directive. If God told you to, I want you to go on a 7-day complete fast, God's words supersede. Yes. But pastor said 1 meal a day. Let the Spirit of God deal with you and let him humble you. Let him lead and guide you. Let him direct your path. Yield yourself to him. And I'll tell you, it's hard. That cross is hard. Sometimes it's hard to deny yourself. But Paul said this, didn't he? He says, I die. I got to kill myself, a little bit of myself every day. Like I shared with you all, God just takes simple things and reveals you to you. I'm riding down the street minding my own business. And don't think the enemy knows my pet peeves. I mean, I'm, Sister Donnie, this close to the car in front of me. Ain't a car 10 car lengths behind me. But someone races to the side of me and starts butting over and cuts in front of you. And when that button's hit, what? Did you see all that space? What? And then when they go by, you go. I need the Lord to help me. I ain't all the way dead. Because if I was dead, go up today, go to your next funeral, go to there, and I know I'm not telling you to do this, but go to a funeral, go to look at, go to a morgue and ask them, could you just slap the corpse? If he get up and say something, you're getting out of there. Your expectation is when you hit a dead person, they don't respond. And so when I see those responses in my life, I look and say, God, I ain't dead yet. I got to crucify myself some more. I got to give up some more. I need your help again, Lord. I know I just got done with 7 days of consecration, but God, continue to help me. Continue to cleanse me. Continue to wash me. I gotta die. Because I want to be your disciple. So no matter what my wife says, no matter what game my children are willing to play for, no matter what trip, no matter what things that are offered me in this life, what can I give in exchange for my own soul? So God, wash me and continue to live in me. I want everybody to lift your hands before the presence of the Lord. We got to bring our bishop. First of all, God, I thank you for your word. Many times we want to take the good scriptures and we want to apply them. We want to make them a part of our life. But God, we got to eat the whole roll. We know we teach a God of love. We teach a God that is always ever present, a God that forgives, a God's blood that washes us clean. But the flip side of that is that we serve a Lord and Savior that demands the best of us, that wants everything we have to offer him. And we must be willing to give that to him without reservation, without thought of our family being offended, without thought of our way of life and our structure and our ideals and our attitudes and our mindset. None of that means nothing when it comes to your will. God, all of that has to look like hate. All the things we take pleasure in, delight and joy in, all the members of family that we love and we treasure and we honor, God, all of that must pale in comparison to the way that our hearts are transfixed on you. And God, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done to us and through us and in us in this consecration, God. But you're calling us to a higher calling, a deeper walk, a more of a responsibility, not looking for just the privilege, God, but also looking for the responsibility of living godly lives in this present age. I thank you, Lord, for your word. I've sown your seed, God. My prayer is let that manifest itself in the fruit of our living, God, that you continue to cleanse and wash us, God. Open our ears, Lord, that we're not only hearers, but we become doers of your word. God, that you become pleased. I want to hear those words again that say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And Lord, let me say and testify along with those in the book of Revelation, and they loved not their lives to death. And they loved not their lives to death. Don't let it just be a testimony. Let it be a reality in our lives, Lord, that you be glorified and your name be honored in each and every life in this place. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.